in a world of mindless movie cliches. One podcast fights back. Critics are calling it profound, epic, free. Prepare to revisit your video cassette memories of the 1980s and 90s. Behold, it's VHS Rewind.
Everybody needs a little magic in their life.
In your imagination, that's the best place to play.
Tuesday night, CBS invites you to let wonderful things happen with The Wizard.
Hello, everybody. My name is Mark, and I am talking tonight with Christopher. How are you, Christopher?
All right, how are you?
I am actually not that great. Because I realized that the show that we're going to review is no longer on the air. It didn't make it to a second season.
I think we need to make an announcement that the show might be un-PC, non-PC, at least when it comes to little people. Because we might make some fun of little people.
You know, we probably have a better time doing that than I would watching this again. Because this was a tough movie. This was a tough show to watch.
Contextualize it, please. It's 1986.
Well, it's called The Wizard. Let's not forget about the title.
Right. It is a I was trying to figure out terms to describe it. So it's a fantasy. Maybe not fantasy is a good word, but it has elements of not even science fiction. I can't even say that because he's a toy inventor, but he does some really fantastical things throughout the show. So he's a toy inventor who works for a covert government agency sometimes.
Yeah, but we're not really sure why, because actually at the end of this episode, you realize that there's more to him that meets the eye, right?
Right, right.
But you don't really understand. Like, who cares about this guy? He's
well, in the exposition heavy first few minutes, they are our sidekick character played by Douglas Barr. I don't know if you remember him. He was on The Fall Guy.
That's the only place where I knew him from. Actually,
also as a sidekick, And it's being explained to him that he's being pulled from his prior mission to protect this toy inventor who had disappeared for 8 years, and no one is concerned where he might have been, even though he would be valuable to other governments. So, but we're not going to dwell on where he was for the last 8 years. But he's back.
You know what this is.
Our government wants to protect him because he does occasional favors for them.
Right. And what the show represents is 1986 and 1987, bubblegum family TV.
I was unprepared. I was unprepared for that bubblegum family aspect because let's be honest now. I saw the opening credits for the show. And it's an action-adventure show, we could describe it that way, with gunfire, car chases, etc., which were common for that period. You know, think Magnum P.I., but the twist is that the person doing it is
a little person.
A little person.
Playing drums, too.
Can we say midget? I don't know.
No, midget is a very not-PC term. I don't want to offend anyone. I mean, I think dwarf is accepted, and although I don't understand why, I think dwarf sounds worse personally.
I think it sounds funnier,
but I think moving forward, we should just refer to, the height challenged as, little people.
And so, you know, remember now back then in the 80s, everybody was working for the government. I mean, the Fall Guy, we mentioned him. He was a stuntman I guess he was just a bounty hunter. But
I'm a stuntman. Think about that concept. I'm a stuntman.
That's awesome.
What do you do for a living? I'm a stuntman.
A man from Atlantis. He was also working for the government. You know, I mean, you can just
the A-team.
Throw in your own. You can make up your own show. Just X works for the government.
Actually, honestly. The A-team was against the government. They were being chased by the government.
But they used to work for the government.
Right. But then you have MacGyver, who kind of worked for the government. Knight Rider. Knight Rider worked for a private organization that worked for the government, kind of.
Put in anything you want here. And our lead little person is David Rappaport, who folks might know from The Bride, the movie The Bride, which was a retelling of The Bride of Frankenstein.
I know him from Time Bandits.
And Time Bandits?
Which I think he's an outstanding actor. He could have done better than this show. I think he was better than this show.
And I want to point out that I'm not making fun of little people because they're little. I'm making fun of little people because this show is so bad and filmed so poorly that when you have a little person dodging bullets or driving a car in a car chase, it looks really silly.
But it's so campy that it...
It's hilarious.
It's as though it's a parody of itself. You know, he's referred to on IMDb as he had the genetic condition dwarfism. He was actually 3'11", which is one full foot shorter than, I believe, what is medically considered a dwarf.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I think 4'11" is the cutoff. But you know, he considered these roles to be demeaning and silly, and I believe he did take his own life.
He did. It's funny that this show is all about. He talks about life and how wonderful life is, and yet in reality, he succumbed to reality and just blew his brains out. It's really sad, actually.
But overcoming it and becoming extremely successful, and you know, I mean, I guess nothing beats depression.
And let's point out, he's not terrible in this. He's really genuine, and I think he puts across the qualities of the character that were aimed for. But it's just that the show is bad. It's just poorly written.
I feel as though the Simon McKay character was watchable. I felt as though Alex Jagger, which was Douglas Barr, yep. I felt as though that they could have, in future episodes, worked well together. It could have been fun to watch, but I have a feeling that every episode there would be something tragic. Like in this episode, you had a little boy dying of leukemia or?
Yeah, it was leukemia. And so his dying wish is to be the wizard. And
that nobody knew that existed for 8 years.
What's it like being little? I mean, grown up, but not...
I think I know what you mean. The thing is, I don't think about being small. Unless something happens to remind me.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to...
Don't worry about it. You don't measure a person by their height. It's the size of their heart that really matters. And you know, we've all got something in common.
What's that?
We're all different. Now, I want you to try this on. And do the chin strap up really tight.
It's going to be impossible for me to get big either. I'm not going to live long enough to...
Brian, nothing is impossible. Anything you can imagine can happen.
And, you know, again, I wasn't making fun of little people because they're little. It was the show that was kind of cheating. So now I'm going to make fun of people with leukemia because the kid playing this leukemia kid is asked to do some pretty, you know, poor acting. You know, he's just made to be wide-eyed and in awe and
sickly. Yeah. And when he takes his baseball hat off, Simon McKay isn't shocked that he's bald. But it's like you didn't notice he was bald with the baseball hat on. Come on.
What do you think of the wizard's toys that come out throughout the show? I mean, he has a super bouncy ball, which maybe wasn't invented back in 1985. I don't know.
But it was like the bouncy ball that never stopped. And for whatever reason...
Is that what it was? Okay.
And for whatever reason, the agent, Alex Jagger, was afraid of it. So...
maybe because it was going too fast, but I don't know. The wizard catches it just like that.
And he has a sweet tooth. Every once in a while, you get a moment of Simon McKay's past where they're trying to develop this character. It's a very depressing character.
Simon.
Just a little piece of candy.
You said you wanted to cut down on sweets and that only a fool can control bad habits.
Anyone can be a fool 5 minutes in a day. Wisdom comes from knowing when not to exceed the limit.
Now think how wise you'll be.
I'll see. Ow! Alex! What do you miss most about childhood, Alex?
Nothing. I hated being little. Nothing personal.
Yeah, but you must have liked playing games. I mean, hide and seek.
Yeah, well, where I grew up, you played hide and seek just to get home alive.
Oh, I know what that's like. Liverpool docks. You see, when I was a child, my parents knew I wasn't going to grow up, so they decided I should grow fast. They put me out to sea to work as a cabin boy. But I missed my childhood. Because during childhood, you learn the important things of life, the wonders of life. Should never be missed or hated.
Not depressing.
Oh, he's completely depressing. He was shunned by his family, and he was forced to become a cabin boy. His, a 3'11" cabin boy. He was never allowed to have candy. That's why he loves candy now so much.
He mentions Liverpool, so that accounts for the accent, in case you were wondering.
Liverpool. I mean, come on.
Liverpool docks.
And he would fight, right? He mentioned fighting, how rough it was.
That whole story that he tells about why he is the way he is and why his parents put him on the Liverpool docks. I mean, that's again, campy stuff right there.
Yeah. And this is like the first 15 minutes in, maybe.
Right. And so the wizard gives him a tour and he's got a special toy that he wants Brian, the leukemia kid, to help him with. And I thought there the wizard was kind of like just being a little annoying with the leukemia kid. But the kid's got leukemia, so how else are you going to...
I thought it was appropriate for a realistic way of doing that, but I felt as though it was inappropriate for the show.
So you know, the toy that... the wizard Simon has for Brian is this helicopter that goes by thought control.
Well, it's appropriately installed inside of pretty much a white golf ball type of shape. I mean, it's a round
football helmet,
but it's like round, right? It wasn't a football helmet. Wasn't it like round?
It was round. Yes. Completely round.
So you're putting on a bald head kid, you know, kid's bald to begin with. You're putting on another big round head on his head. So he looks kind of like in Spaceballs. He looks like the Spaceballs.
Yes. asking this leukemia kid to, you know, control it, get it to go by thought. You know, I was like, the kid can't really control that. He's going to cut his own head off with the rotors or something.
You don't have to try. Just dream. Dream it taking off. Dream it soaring all around the room. Okay, keep your eyes open. Just let it happen. You did it once, you can do it again.
Did it.
The first to make it fly.
That means no one else can ever be first.
You're it.
I love you, wizard.
I want to point out that some of these toys that were that come up during the show, like this thought control device, that was used in a Clint Eastwood movie called Firefox, where he controls the MiG thought control. That was a couple of years earlier. But later on during the car chase, we'll get to another Clint Eastwood reference. But it comes out that Brian has a brother. In another really poorly written exposition scene, the acting during this entire show is pretty terrible. Douglas Barr is terrible. Every character is terrible, except the wizard himself. He has a dignity and a charm to him, but everybody else, pretty bad.
Yeah, and you know, it is also kind of weird that there's a lot of shots of him close up fumbling with something, making him look kind of just really ridiculous.
The absent-minded toy inventor.
It's uncomfortable to watch, actually, a little bit.
But it comes out that Brian's brother is away, but we could do a bone marrow transplant, which would save Brian.
In 4 days.
But the brother is missing, looking for a lost city in South America because he's some sort of Indiana Jones archaeologist.
No, he's an archaeological professor at 22. Well,
Isn't that what Indiana Jones was, an archaeology professor?
But he was like 34.
Oh.
The guy's 22 and he's been missing for how long? He doesn't even know his own brother has, you know, cancer. And it's like, don't you call home? Like, what is...
Well, he is in the South American jungles. True. So even though the mother doesn't know where this brother is, Simon quickly deduces that he must be here on the map of South America.
Right.
And so he traipses off to South America, having a car chase en route because there's some mysterious Chinaman. And I'm not making fun of Chinaman.
No, this is the stereotypical Chinaman.
Right. It's the show that makes him into a Charlie Chan villain, governments want this inventor. I supply what is in demand. I will get him. You know, he talks typical, awful, awful Chinese stereotype.
If we do not carry this out quickly, getting him to Hong Kong may become a serious problem.
Do you actually believe you can auction off Simon McKay to the highest bidder?
He is in demand. I supply that which is in demand. You procure him for me, Mr. Neff, and I will persuade him to use his technology on more important things than toys.
We never find out who those people are, so I assume that's going to come up again in the next episode.
Well, if you watched it fully through, which I don't know if you... I don't know where you saw this. I watch on YouTube.
I did too, yes.
At the end, they go, next week, and they show that the Chinaman catches him.
Oh, really?
He's involved in episode 2.
I also actually, I went through the end credits because I kind of like the Wizard theme song.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of back to the future-y. It had a
nice adventure type of theme to it.
But I like that immediately following the broadcast of The Wizard was Moscow on the Hudson.
Yeah, I remember that.
So anyway, they have this car chase. And to elude the Chinaman, Simon has a toy car, which he stops his car, places the toy car outside, continues the car chase, but he's controlling this toy car.
It's a remote control car, basically.
It's a remote control car, which was used in the Clint Eastwood movie, The Deadpool. This very same scenario where a toy remote control car is chasing Dirty Harry because it's going to explode.
Now, did it have the same controller?
No, it didn't have it was a different kind of controller because it didn't have the screen that the wizard has.
Right.
So the wizard could see where he's going.
Which is clever.
He can look up the dresses of the girls that the car goes under.
you know, I was thinking, how did they film that? But then I kind of realized they probably just put the camera as low as possible while driving.
Exactly.
But, you know, it did have a cool effect to it. It gave the illusion that, you know, it was actually going.
But again, you know, just the idea of the little person, not only, you know, in a car chase, but he suddenly says, "Darcy, take the wheel," you know, to the passenger. And there's a good 4 seconds where she is surprised by that. And he's like already jumped into the back to get to his remote control car. And I'm like, that thing would have swerved out of control by that point.
You know, another thing is, you know, he's very much like an Inspector Gadget without the bumbling side with Penny.
Well, that bag is like he carries around this bag that has toys in it, just what he needs when he needs it. And I'm taking that to be like some sort of magic bag or something.
Also, why is it so bad that these people are following them?
Yeah.
And why do you have to blow up their car practically? You know.
So we get to South America following the car chase.
Well, you didn't say what the remote control car did.
Oh, I'm sorry. So the remote control car speeds up, catches up to the chasing car, and blows their tire off.
But the effect of it, they put a lightning bolt, like an electric shock, into the side of the wheel, which I guess was a laser type of thing, and it blows out the wheel.
It should be noted that the effects are really cool in the show.
Yeah, they're halfway decent. But then again, it was 86,
I was kidding, because we're getting to a real good one later on.
Oh, the gold?
The El Hombre Dorado.
I didn't even get it. Like, I didn't even understand what the hell was going on at that point.
So they're in the jungles of South America,
where we find out that the brother is now in a situation.
Right, he's working for a man called Señor Ray, and they're looking for the lost city of El Dorado, which they find. They find a priceless antique from a lost ancient city that has an emerald in it. Bad guy who's dressed in white takes, you know, pries out the emerald, and I'm thinking it would have been more, you know, worth more money if you kept the artifact whole,
right?
Rather than take the emerald out.
Like, don't you watch Antiques Roadshow at all? You know, it was, they almost had a look on their face where it was like, you know, it wasn't that hard to find the city.
it isn't. I mean, they not only find the lost city like that, they find the brother like that.
I mean, the brother is supposedly on an expedition for months, I'm going to say, to find the city. He figures it out in 15 minutes. Overnight, he figures it out.
And so the brother realizes that he's been duped by his benefactor, who just wants to take everything for himself. So he is put in a, you know, he's tied up because now that they don't really need him anymore.
So why not kill him? Let's keep him around.
But just in time, here comes Simon and his troop. I just want to point out that they get to South America, but they have, there's only 2 days, 3 days, and they take time out to have dinner, you know. And I love the scene where Darcy, who is the female of the group, comes out from behind a tree and says, "Simon, can you tell me if this leaf will leave a rash?"
Yeah, that's funny. And he's like, "You made a good choice."
as toilet paper, I was like, "Oh, wow, that's really this is the level of the show, folks."
Yeah, this is poop jokes.
But, and so the wizard and Douglas Barr, Alex Jagger, and Darcy are going to bust out the brother to get him back to poor Brian with leukemia. And really inept action scene follows where Darcy feigns, you know, like she was in an accident. I guess her plane crashed or something. I mean, she just appears out of the jungle with her clothes ripped and tries to get over to Señor Ray and the prisoner. And again, it's just so poorly executed. While Douglas Barr comes around and takes the guard out and gets his gun, and it's just ugh. But then Señor Rey gets the upper hand on those guys, and just needed distraction comes from Simon, who has painted himself gold, and is able to levitate himself out of the water. And I was just, wow, that first of all, I mean, again, the effects are terrible, but this scares off all of Señor Rey's men, except some who have guns, who shoot but cannot hit anything.
They're like the stormtroopers in Star Wars.
I mean, so with this distraction, Douglas Barr takes and Darcy take the brother, and they're running out in the clear open over a bridge to get to a helicopter, and nobody can hit them with the gun. Nobody can shoot them. It's just amazing.
But they're spinning around like crazy.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
No, yeah, I mean, it's like they cannot fly a helicopter, but for somehow they're flying it.
Somehow they're flying it. And how Simon is doing this levitating act, we don't know.
We never
know. He says later, I learned it from somebody in Tibet, but again.
I gotta know how you did that.
What? That was just gold paint and palm leaves.
No. You know what I'm talking about. It was like an earthquake down there.
Alex, the earth has its natural noises. You know, the oceans crashing, volcanoes rumbling. I just gave it a bit of feedback and turned up the volume. Now,
Simon, you rose right out of the water. You just floated there above it. How? I need to know.
Well, that was something I picked up from a guy in Tibet. Now, Darcy, let's radio the local authorities.
Now, following the pilot, cast changes were made. Roy Dotrice became the regular villain, Troyan.
And I assume he was the guy in the car with the Chinaman.
Yes.
Although it's kept in shadow, so you don't really see him that well.
Also, Fran Ryan became Simon's cook and housekeeper. And Cheryl McFadden, who was Darcy, they dropped.
She was terrible.
Yeah, she was terrible.
She was bad.
And also, the BBC, it was never shown in Britain, and BBC denounced the show as tasteless.
You have to admit, I mean, it's shameless what they do with that leukemia kid.
Well, I think it's the whole little people thing, too.
Yeah, that's that, yes. I mean, although they're drawing a positive image of this little person who can do.
Oh, I agree with you. I think there is a positive slant, but I think that it's.
But to raise the hopes of the leukemia kid, and saying, you know, the leukemia kid says, "Well, I'm not going to live long enough to grow up," and the wizard is like, "Now, Brian, you could do anything you set your mind to."
Yeah, it's pretty depressing. Like, you're bumming me out, kid.
Right here.
Seriously, the kid's bumming me out.
No, Brian, I'm going to find you. I know you only have 3 days to live, but I'm going to go to South America and I'm going to find your brother so you can have that transplant.
Now, what's really interesting is a website that you came across called the WizardTVFansite.com.
I'm surprised the show has fans.
And you're not even being funny about that. You're absolutely right. It's, I mean, there's 19 episodes. And
I did read that the show was canceled mid-season, but the producers somehow got the rest of the season filmed while they started a Save the Wizard campaign, which, you know, I can't confirm or deny how successful that was, but I mean, or you know, how many letters were written or petitions signed, but the show didn't air for another season. So
I'm sorry if I seem distracted. I'm reading about the general trivia of the wizard right now.
Anything good?
His car was a Citroen and a Bronco. His favorite shoes are Converse Chuck Taylors. Like, what? Seriously? This is,
There's only 19 episodes. There's not much to go on.
But
it should be noted that this series has a 4-star rating out of 5 on IMDb.
Yeah, it seems beloved.
By who?
These people who seem to keep this website up.
Well, you asked me earlier, hey, do you have any shows that are not on DVD? Well, this one isn't on DVD.
Oh, really? Here we go. All right, I have a little bit of a synopsis, a little, you know, not even a synopsis, just a quick, like, couple sentences about each episode. So the next episode would be The Reunion, which is a hidden message on a necklace brings Simon and Alex to Hong Kong to rescue Simon's friend Tilly Russell from his archenemy Troyan, whom the trio must stop before he can carry out his latest destructive, deadly, get-rich-quick scheme. Amway. And then, like, Haunting Memories is the next episode. Unexplained events at a local toy store. It's ridiculous. This sounds like Scooby-Doo.
I think Scooby-Doo is more complex and has more fleshed-out characters than this show.
And he had Don Knotts on.
And right, had better actors.
Furley!
It's funny when you go to David Rappaport's IMDb site.
Yeah.
Like, the related articles that come up are actors who committed suicide, top 30 little people, best dwarf acting, best talents who have died, with a picture of Dudley Moore.
Dudley Moore.
That's hilarious.
You missed my Furley reference.
Furley!
Furley. I'll put that in. Maybe that's how we should start each episode. Oh man,
that'd be awesome.
Well, all in all, I would not have watched the show back in 1986. I don't think I didn't. I don't did. Think I understand why it was canceled.
I might watch one more episode just to see.
David Rappaport, I think, was a great actor. He was one of the better. I think he was great in Time Bandits. But, you know, this, it's TV, it's garbage TV of 1986. I mean, that's the bottom line. Hopefully he got paid well.
I mean, the thing that grabbed me about this is to watch the opening credits, not just for the music, but for the hilarity of seeing a little person do TV action tropes like dodging bullets or driving cars in a car chase. And if you don't fall in love with that, at least you'll have a laugh watching that.
So it's worth seeing. It's available on YouTube in 3 parts. And
a lot of episodes.
I think it's worth just sitting through and watching if it's your if that's your thing. So do you want to add anything else to this episode?
No.
Well, I just want to sign off with this word of wisdom by Simon. You don't measure a person by height. It's the size of the heart that truly matters. Please subscribe to this podcast.
Oh, thank God, Doc.
We don't have much time. Take Mr. Wayne for an HLA blood match, then prep for marrow aspiration.
Brian. Remember, you and me were the new Wright brothers, Brian. We can do anything our minds can imagine, anything. Believe me.
Hi, Brian. How are you feeling?
He talks?
Of course he talks. He wants to know how you're doing.
I'm doing better, thank you. How are you?
Oh, in this box. I'd feel much better if you picked me up. I love being hooked.
Now, Brian, you look after him. T
teach him well. He loves to learn. And as soon as you're feeling better, bring him over to my place. We'll have a real special picnic. I hear your mum cooks some pretty good pies. And Darcy cooks wonderful chicken. Jack and I can provide the entertainment, and Alex can,
Well, what does Alex do?
Well, I keep magic alive. Indirectly.